أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaytan, who has been removed from God's kingdom of special mercy because of Shaytan's arrogance and his defiance. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We turn submissively to God and ask for help and guidance because we believe He is Allah, the All Perfect One. He is Rahman, the All Merciful One, and He is Rahim, one whose mercy is endless and eternal. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. We send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best of guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. At the request of the madrasa students, we said we'll have a brief commentary discussion on Dua Kumail. As an introduction, in order to appreciate the importance and the extraordinary nature of this dua, I said it's important to remind ourselves of who Kumail was. Keep in mind that Kumail was not an ordinary companion. He was one of the elite group of companions close to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And his history and his performance, both in the spiritual field, in the social field, he was the governor appointed by Imam, on the battlefield, it clearly shows the man was brave, the man was intelligent, the man was a devout, worshipping companion of Imam, to the extent that Imam then begins to share certain secrets with him of what is going to happen in the future. So one, the man is not an ordinary person. And therefore when he goes to the source, which is the source of all knowledge, definitely the level of knowledge that will be imparted and given to him will be higher. One. Two, what he asks for also is not an ordinary dua. It's a dua which is also known as the dua of Khidr. Khidr was not an ordinary prophet or an ordinary man. The Quran introduces him in Surah Kahf as a special servant who received a special grace and mercy from us. And notice that when he joins as a companion with Prophet Musa, when Prophet Musa, according to some traditions, had a thought that perhaps he's the best of the men on earth, and Allah then instructs him through Jibreel that why don't you go and meet this other servant of ours, you notice the domain and the spheres in which these two prophets are operating are different. Prophet Musa is operating in the apparent domain, whereby when he sees Prophet Khidr damaging the boat, and he challenges him, he says, but it's not fair, how can you damage somebody else's property? We have to respect property. And then when he reaches the second station and he kills that young man, he says, but we don't have right not only over the possessions and the property of people, but we don't have right over their lives. How can you take away somebody's life without justification? And on the third occasion, where he reconstructs something apparently for a rude group of people, discourteous and without any expectation of a reward. And Musa questions that also, the wisdom of such an act for such a people. And the response Khidr gives indicates that he was operating at a level beyond the Sharia. So Khidr also is not an ordinary person. Two. Three. The occasion from which the dua was then taken at the dark, in the darkness of the night, privately, not in public, Kumail approaches Imam and reminds him about the dua of Khidr. And the response Imam gives him, that because you are so special to us, come and sit and I will share with you. And number four, the fact that the effect of this dua, Imam tells Kumail that even if you were to recite it on only one occasion, once throughout your lifetime, it has the power to transform you, to give you more risk, to bring you closer to God, to protect you from afflictions. And number five, the fact that in some other traditions, Imam alayhi salam was reported to have recited this dua in the state of sajda. All these indicators convince us that this dua is not an ordinary one. It's an extraordinary dua. And therefore we need to cherish it and look at it with a high degree of appreciation and respect. And when we engage in the dua, we need to be mentally prepared for it. Next slide, please. Next, please. And I said one way of appreciating the main themes covered in the dua is to perhaps divide it into certain sections. For convenience sake, I have divided these into six sections. Section number one, Imam alayhi salam addresses God by 10 names. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika, bi quwwatika, bi jabarutika, bi izzatika, bi azamatika, bi sultanika. He goes on, 10 names are counted. O Lord, and I said this can be summarized into three big names of God. O Lord, you know my problem. One, O Lord, you have the power to solve my problem. Two, O Lord, you are kind and loving enough to want to solve my problem. Three, I've got two problems. Problem number one, I've got sins that are blocking me from reaching you. Allahumma akthir li al-dhunub allati. Six types of sins that Imam alayhi salam mentions. Tahtiku al-isam, tughayyiru al-ni'am, tunzilu al-niqam, tahbisu al-du'a, taqta'u al-raja, tunzilu al-bala. Six categories of sins. I want these obstacles to be removed. One, and my second request is, أن تُوزِعَنِي شُكْرَكْ تُلْهِمَنِي ذِكْرَكْ تُدْنِيَنِي مِنْ قُرْبِكْ تَجْعَلَنِي بِقَسْمِكَ رَاضِيَ. I want spiritual gifts. I don't want material gifts. I want closeness to you. That is paragraph one. Paragraph two, Imam alayhi salam now goes to a higher level. He is engaging in dua at a deeper level now. And I said this paragraph can be taken to be almost a tafsir of this ayah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّءُ. Who is there who is مُضْطَر and senses his own sense of desperation? One. And then turns to God and God alone. Two. God who has the power to يَكْشِفُ السُّءُ, remove all afflictions. All these three elements are elaborated in detail in this paragraph. So notice in the expression of his sense of desperation, Imam alayhi salam says, أَسْأَلُكَ سُؤَالَ مَنِ اشْتَدَّتْ فَاقَتُ. I'm a faqir, but I'm one who senses the depth of his destitution. وَأَنْزَلَ بِكَ عِنْدَ الشَّدَائِدِ حَاجَةَ. I'm suffering from tremendous afflictions and I'm bringing my haja to you. عَظُمَ فِي مَا عِنْدَكَ رَغْبَةُ. I'm in the state of darura, and therefore I've come to you. But where else can I go? Da'ahu. I'm a muzhtar who makes a dua, but to you and to you alone. Why? Because la ajidu li dhunubi ghafira, wala li qaba'ihi satira, wala li 'amali al-qabihi bil hasani mubaddilan ghayrak. There is no one else other than you who can grant me the forgiveness and the pardon to my sins, and who can cover my evil, my bad habits, and who can change me, heal me from the damage that I've inflicted on my soul and on my mind and on my body. Paragraph number three, I said, Imam alayhi salam now goes one step higher. He tries to analyze, why is it that I have fallen into this trap? What has led me to this position of being so sinful and so needy to your mercy? This is where he starts by saying, Ilahi wa maulaya, ajrayta alayya hukman. O Allah, you decreed. You gave me the aql, you gave me the senses, you gave me the mind, you gave me the heart, you gave me the limbs. And then you tested me. Under test, the desires, the devil, the dunya, they overwhelmed me. I did have the power to say no, but I was overwhelmed. أَسْعَدَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقَضَاءُ. Your decree was that I should be given this freedom. I abused that freedom. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. I praise you and you alone. You never forced me to do evil. In fact, لَا حُجَّةَ لِي. I have no proof or argument against you that it was you who facilitated the evil and that's how I become sinful. No. The problem is with me. So what else can I do other than approaching you to confess and to admit and to ask for forgiveness? So I've come before you. معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مذعنا معترفا. I come to you in full state of confession and ask for your special grace and mercy. Imam alayhi salam then enters the climax of his dua. Now Imam alayhi salam begins to engage with God at a level where it's difficult for us ordinary people to engage in. Oh Lord, you know my weakness. I can't even tolerate the fire of this dunya. How can I tolerate the fire of the akhirah? And even if I were to be able to tolerate the fire of the akhirah, which is not possible, how can I tolerate separation from you? That's one of the peak statements, one of the most profound statements that appears in Dua Kumail, where our great scholars tell us that we ordinary people cannot recite this phrase with all honesty and sincerity. And Imam alayhi salam says, I swear if you leave me in the fire of hell, لَأَصْرُخَنَّ لَأَبْكِيَنَّ لَأُنَادِيَنَّكَ لَأَضِجَّنَّ, I will cry, I will plead, I will shout, يَا وَلِيَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَا حَبِيبَ قُلُوبِ الصَّادِقِينَ. You were always my beloved, not the dunya. When the choice came, I abandoned the dunya. You were my choice. I will cry out on the day of judgment when my mouth shall not be able to speak. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They won't be able to use their tongue to speak lies. You know what will speak on that day? Their core inner truth will speak out. Oh my Lord, in the dunya I sought and I asked for nothing but you. You put me into the fire of hell, I will speak nothing but your praise and your love. Amazing degree of communication with the Lord. Not easy for us ordinary mortals to, but we train ourselves gradually to raise ourselves to that station. Oh Lord, I am sure about your mercy. Had it not been for your wisdom that those who oppose you deliberately, I am sure you would have made this fire of hell a cool garden. There would be no hell. And I know because I didn't oppose you, therefore I don't deserve to go to the fire of hell. مَا هَكَذَا ظَنُّ بِكْ. Never ever I could imagine this from you at your mercy. The dua is almost over now. Imam has reached the peak. Now he says, أَسْأَلُكَ بِالْقُدْرَةِ الَّتِي قَدَّرْتَهَا وَبِالْقَضِيَّةِ الَّتِي حَتَمْتَهَا وَغَلَبْتَ عَلَى مَنْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرَيْتَهَا. What do I ask? أَنْ تَهَبْ لِي فِي هَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ وَفِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ كُلَّ جُرْمٍ وَكُلَّ ذَنْبٍ وَكُلَّ خَطِيئَةٍ. I want all my sins to be forgiven. That's the final thing I ask you at this closest stage that I've reached to you. After that, finally, the last paragraph, he says, Oh Allah, I want a lifestyle change. I want khushya, I want khidmah, I want dhikr all the time. I want to return back from this journey that I've made to you, back to this dunya. I want to return with these two lifestyle changes in my life. One, I should always remember you. Two, I should always submit to you. It's a beautiful dua. But provided we get the tawfiq to be able to recite it from the depth of our hearts. Next slide, please. So let's go a little more into detail into each of these paragraphs. Paragraph number one, I said, Imam alayhi salam addresses God with 10 names. And these 10 names can be summarized into 3 big names, whereby Imam alayhi salam would say that, O Lord, I ask you by your mercy. You are loving, you are kind, definitely you want to help me. One. Two, I ask you by your quwwah and by your azama and by your jabarut and by your sultan, definitely you have the power over me. Definitely you have the power to solve my problem. وَبِعِلْمِكَ الَّذِي أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And I ask you by your knowledge which encompasses and pervades everything. You know my problem. Definitely you can solve it. And then he asks what those problems are. Next slide, please. Let's analyze this first phrase. Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. Allahumma, O Allah, as'aluka, I ask you. These two words are crucial words because they will then set the tone for the whole of the dua. The first word we speak out, Allahumma, O Allah. Why? Because essentially, if an individual, if a human being looks at his own identity. Who is he? One. And who is God? Two. Therefore, necessarily, he will reach the conclusion how to communicate with him. Three. And notice how the Imam does that now. In Surah Fatir, chapter 35, ayah number 15, Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, it's not believers, it's not the people of the book, it's all of mankind. Whoever is human and therefore has got the mind to think and the conscience to realize what is true and what is good and what is bad, that's enough. Ya ayyuhan nas, this is a reality that all of you experience. Antumul fuqara ila Allah, you are faqir towards Allah. Wallahu, and God, you know who he is? Huwa al-ghaniyyu. He's the one who's totally independent. Al-Hamid. But one, it's not that he is independent and his independence is being abused or misused. He uses it in a way that deserves nothing but praise. He's ghani, but at the same time he's Hamid. Ay Mahmud. He's worthy of praise. So, you notice also in the Quran, there are several surahs and verses where Allah keeps on reminding mankind, how can you forget your Lord? How can you reject your Lord? Have you not come across situations where you were in trouble and there was nothing that could save you? And it was only Allah who could do that, and you realized it from the bottom of your heart. For example, one of those samples are in Surah Ankabut, chapter 29, ayah number 65. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ. Remember the occasion when they are traveling in the ocean, and then they are overwhelmed, the weather changes, there are strong winds blowing, the captain cannot help, nobody, no other passenger can help. All human powers fail. At that time, da'awullah, they start crying out to God. But how? Mukhlisina lahuddin, with total ikhlas, with the totality of their being, they turn to God, whisper to Him. They don't even need to speak. They whisper in their hearts, Oh Lord, save us. I know you're there, one. I know you have the power to save me. Oh Lord, I promise you, internally, privately, secretly, you save me, I'll be a good person. فَإِذَا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. However, once they are rescued back to the safety of dry land, they begin to forget God and turn back to the idols that they were worshipping before. This ability of man to know there is a God, to remember God, to turn to Him, to ask sincerely from Him, is inbuilt in every human being. What we need to do at the beginning of the dua is to remind ourselves, I am faqir. Faqir means, not only should I remember God when I'm in darura, at all times I'm faqir. At all times I'm faqir. This is the important realization we need to begin with. That's when we can say, Allahumma inni as'aluka. I'm just a sa'il before you because I'm a faqir. You see, the understanding of Allah is not, He's not a builder who has made a building and gone away. So now the building is standing on its own. He's not one who has created the creation and left the creation on its own. The Quran portrays the relationship between Allah and the creation, not that of a builder and a building, but that of a thinker and his thought. Every moment, the existence of that thought depends on the energy of the thinker devoting itself to that focus of its thought. There are several verses in the Quran that illustrate this. A beautiful example is in Surah Yasin, chapter 36, ayah number 21, 22, 23. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وإليه ترجعون أأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون. Why is it that I should not worship God? Why should I turn to any power other than God when God is the one who brought me to life, when God is the one who will take life away from me, when God is the one in between my beginning and between my end, at every point, whenever I'm in trouble, He's the one who helps me. And that's the definition of faqir. Do I possess life? I didn't bring myself to life. In Surah Tur, the beginning, is elaborated further. Am khuliqu min ghayri shay, chapter 52, ayah number 36. Have they been created from nothing? Have they created the heavens and the earth? Have they created themselves? None of these answers are right. Man essentially has no power on his own to begin life, one. Two, he has no power to continue life as long as he wants. Death is not in his hands. It's mentioned again in several surahs. One is in Surah Waqi'ah, where you're all sitting in front of this person. فَإِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. Do you remember the time when one of your friends or your family members is about to die? His life is slipping away, and none of you can do anything to stop the process of the soul separating from the body. Do something if you can. In Surah Qiyamah, same thing. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي. These people deny Qiyamah in life after death? Well, ask them, do they have power over death to stop death? When the soul reaches the throat and is about to leave the body, قِيلَ مَنْ رَاقِي. Who is the one who can cure and stop the process of death? وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ. He becomes sure there's no one who can save him. He's going to die. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقِ بِالسَّاقِ إِلَى رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقِ. And then at that time, he's going to suffer pain upon pain. And finally, his return will be back to his Lord. The beginning is not in my hands. The end is not in my hands. In between, I can do everything I want to gain something, but if he doesn't will it, I'll fail. Everybody else can try to block me receiving special grace from God, but if he wants it, I will get it. I'm faqir throughout from the beginning till the end. My relationship to God is not that of the builder and the building. He builds me and leaves me alone. I can do whatever I want. No. The Quran says we are faqir. Faqir means one. The word faqir is derived from the word faqara. Faqara means this vertebral column. A faqir is a person who is collapsed. He needs somebody to support him. Otherwise, he's dead. Kullu man alayha fan. Everyone shall die. No, everyone is dead. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So the essential realization we have to make before we start the dua is to understand who is Allah and what is our relationship to Allah. It's not that of a creation to the creator like a builder and building. It's like a thinker and the thought. Every moment I have got nothing in my hands, nothing. Every moment, if I receive his attention and his grace and his love, I'm alive. I've got the energy. The pure energy comes to me, my soul gets life. My brain is alive. My body, therefore, is alive. Should even for a moment there be a disruption or a discontinuity, and I collapse, in as much as the moment the thinking process is diverted away from the thought object disappears. Allahumma. And therefore, what is my relationship to you? Inni as'aluka. I've got nothing but su'al from you. Inni as'aluka. And in surah, again in surah Rahman, from which I quoted this ayah, kullu man alayha fan. In surah Rahman, the next ayah says, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth seeks and asks him. It begs from him, either verbally because they need it, or no, existentially, by the very nature of their being, by the very nature of their existence, they are needy and therefore they are constantly asking from Allah. So when I begin this phrase, there are three stages or three meanings I should think about. Allahumma inni as'aluka, literal translation, oh Lord, I'm asking you. Second level of meaning, let me think about it. What is the logical basis of why I am saying Allahumma inni as'aluka? There's a logical reason for that. And that is, my relationship to you is that of a thinker and the thought. Third level of meaning, let me not only know what it means, let me not only remember the logical reason of why it means that, Let me experience from the core of my being my own state of destitution and desperation every moment. Every moment I should imagine I'm nothing but with the grace of God. And therefore, even if I don't speak it by my mouth, my mind says, Allahumma inni as'aluka. No! My heart thinks but nothing, Allahumma inni as'aluka. And therefore, once this becomes constant, regular, frequent, I don't need to open the dua book to read, Allahumma inni as'aluka. My heart cries out, Allahumma inni as'aluka. This is my very definition, this is my identity, this is who I am. You are Allah, I'm a sa'il. Miskinun bibabik, faqirun bibabik. I've got nothing but to beg from you and you alone. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq, to be able to engage in this dua in a deeper sense and therefore benefit the advantages that have been promised by Imam Ali alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.